chapter 4. So when you're a pastor and you've got all these choices of things to preach from and you're in the middle of a series, it becomes a challenge because it is Father's Day. And dads, on Mother's Day, I preached a Mother's Day verse. Okay, I preached about Eunice and Timothy's mom, grandma, you know, that sort of thing. Not going to do that today because the thing about Nehemiah is he gives instruction that applies to dads as well as to moms. And yeah, so I'm going to weave it in. Father's Day, I haven't forgotten you. You're important. You're incredibly important. But let me ask you a question about Father's Day. Mother's Day, as I said on Mother's Day, was officially recognized as a holiday in 1914. Does anybody know when Father's Day became a national day of recognition? Take a guess. Just guess. 1945, Nora's guessing. Okay, 1914 for Mother's Day. What do you think? 1920? People started talking about there needs to be a Father's Day because there was a Mother's Day almost immediately. Okay, dads, this is going to be your grumble for the day to be able to go home and complain about it, okay? Give you permission to complain about this. It took until 1972. I was like, wow. Wow, dads, I know that you feel ripped off. But, you know, now you have evidence that it just... But you know what? This will make you feel good. It was the moms who kept fighting for Father's Day. It was moms. And I just thought that was like, what? When I looked it up, I was so shocked. I thought, okay, that's just not right. No, Ken, you just did. I'm not going to do that. It's Father's Day. It's Father's Day. Yeah. So at this... My friend Linda says, build a bridge and get over it. That's her favorite saying. So at this point in Nehemiah, we've preached now through the first three chapters, and now we're on chapter 4. At this point, we're talking about defending the building of the wall. Listen to this verse, fathers and everybody, but this is said to the men. Remember the Lord, who is great and awesome, and fight for your families, your sons and your daughters, your wives and your homes. That's a pretty perfect Father's Day verse. We are to be fighting for our families. We are to make the Lord our first priority, men. First priority is the Lord. Second priority is your family. So in what ways, just we'll stay here for a minute on this topic. What ways do Christian dads need to fight for their families these days? Good. How are Christian dads needing to fight for their families these days? Okay, so make it known that you're a Christian. Spend time with families. Do we agree that there's a battle that needs to be fought for our families? You know, the song, I don't know how familiar you are with Casting Crowns' song Courageous, which is talking about, you know, that dads are called to protect their families and to fight for their families. And so it's wonderful that this happened to be in the chapter that I'm on today. So there's your Father's Day verse, men. Fight for your families and remember the Lord. So here in chapter 4, we're talking about opposition to the building of the wall. And it's the same guys, this is in the first chapter, plus a whole bunch more. Ken added some groups to that. So the opposition is growing. So first, the people ridiculed the Jews for building the wall. What are you building? Oh, it doesn't look like anything worth having. You know, they were just making fun of them. What did the people do? They prayed and they kept working. They prayed and they worked. Then there was a plot to fight the Jews and to stir up trouble. What did the Jews do? The people posted guards and prayed and kept working. Then the opposition gets fierce. There's a plot to kill the Jews at this point. Nehemiah stations people to defend the wall and the workers. Verse 14, the first part says, after I looked things over, this is Nehemiah talking, I stood up and said to the nobles, the officials, and the rest of the people, don't be afraid of them. Remember the Lord, who is great and awesome. The enemies realized their plot wasn't going to work, and they gave up. For now. For now. The defense plan, verses 16 through 18, from that day on, half of my men did the work, while the other half were equipped with spears, shields, bows, and armor. The officers posted themselves behind all the people of Judah who were building the wall. Those who carried materials did their work with one hand and held a weapon in the other, and each of the builders wore his sword at his side as he worked. The price for this opposition for the people was half of the workforce is taken out in order to protect the workers. And even those that were working had a weapon in one hand and did the work with the other hand. So this is tough to do this, but they fully depended on God and they got the work done. You remember last week I told you how long it took to build the wall? I haven't told you the exact number of days, but I told you it was fewer than 60 days to build several miles. I think it's 2 or 3 miles of wall. Verse 20, the key verse for this, our God will fight for us. That's good news. Because we're going to have opposition. As believers, we have opposition in our daily walk. As a church, we will have opposition. I've already told you this. Should we expect opposition? Should we? Where will the opposition come from? What do you think? We have a call to this community. Where is the opposition going to come from? The community? What did you say?
The devil.
The devil? Okay. Yeah? So ourselves, we can be our own worst enemy as well. So who might make fun of us for what we're trying to do? Who do they think they are? You think about Noah building that ark. I still think that picture in my mind of him building an ark which had never been built to take care of rain which had never yet fallen from the sky. People had never seen rain before. I don't know if you realize that. There'd never been rain before. The earth was watered from below, springs of water. And the neighbors, I'm sure, made fun of him. So people around, what are they doing? This little church, who do they think they are? Right? We need to expect it because it's scriptural. I wonder whether we might find opposition from like a building inspector. Maybe there are things that we're going to want to do that the building inspector says, no, no. What about the schools? As we reach into the community and we want to reach out to these youth, schools can be great allies or they can be opposition. We don't know yet. We don't know yet. Other churches in town can be our partners or they can be offended by what we're trying to do. But the one that's concerning me right now is what Ken had to say. And that's the topic of spiritual warfare. And it's an uncomfortable topic. People go, oh, Pastor, don't preach about that. People don't want to hear about spiritual warfare. They don't want to hear. Yeah, but here's the thing. Who doesn't want you to hear about spiritual warfare? Satan. Satan doesn't want you to know. Satan doesn't want you to know because if you don't know, he can influence you. And so I'm going to spend a little time this morning on this topic. Ephesians 6:12 says, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms." Do we believe in the Word of God? Then we need to pay attention to what it says. Mark 4, Jesus has just told the parable of the sower about the seeds, you know, that fall in 4 different types of soil. Are you familiar with that parable? I'm going to read what Jesus does to explain it to his disciples. He says, "Don't you understand this parable? The farmer sows the word. Some people are like seed along the path where the word is sown. As soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes away the word that was sown in them." Jesus is talking about Satan. "Others, like seed sown on rocky places, hear the word and at once receive it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes," it doesn't say if, "when trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. Still others, like seed sown among thorns, hear the word, but the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desires for other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. Others," which is what we want to be, "like seed sown on good soil, hear the word, accept it, and produce a crop. Some 30, some 60, some 100 times what was sown." How many of you have kept your flower plants we planted back during Lent? How are they doing? Yeah, those are pretty fun. They grow really fast. And then Romans 8:35, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered." Don't use that verse for evangelism. Okay? This is what's going to happen to you when you believe in Jesus Christ. Right? Okay, but here's the thing. It's going to happen to you even if you don't believe in Jesus Christ. It's just going to be different. Okay? Did Apostle Paul experience opposition to his work? Do you remember this passage? Every time I read this, I'm like, dude, I don't want to ever go through what he did. 2 Corinthians 11:24. "Five times I received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus one." That's a lot of lashes with that barbed whip. "Three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was pelted with stones. Three times I was shipwrecked. I spent a day and a night on the open sea. I have been constantly on the move. I've been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my fellow Jews, in danger from Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, and in danger from false believers. I have labored and toiled and have often gone without sleep. I have known hunger and thirst and have often gone without food. I have been cold and naked." Wow. And still, he was faithful. He was faithful and became more and more and more determined to spread the word of God. We are going to face opposition, period. We already have and we will continue to do so. We're going to experience trouble. Satan is going to fight us really, really hard because we are called to transform this community. I believe it with everything in me. We are called to this community. How do I know that we're going to experience trouble? Because it's already happening. Do you realize that? Do you realize that we're already fighting a spiritual battle in this congregation? Do you realize that? Let me show you what it looks like. A spirit of divisiveness has taken hold here with some of the members. What does that look like? Going to another person to complain about somebody and never being willing to follow Scripture's instructions of going to the person themselves. Matthew 18:15, very familiar passage. "If your brother or sister sins, go and point out their fault just between the two of you. If they listen to you, you have won them over. But if they will not listen, take one or two others along so that every matter may be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. If they still refuse to listen, tell it to the church. And if they refuse to listen even to the church, treat them as you would a pagan or a tax collector." Let me give you some examples. These all have to do with me. I've learned that some folks here are not having a meaningful worship experience because they were unhappy that the scripture passage was at the beginning of the service. You notice we moved it. I want you to have a meaningful worship experience. But you know what? Nobody came and told me. They told somebody else. I've learned that some felt cheated because I didn't talk about Pentecost. Now, Judy did, but I didn't. And if the pastor doesn't do it, that's not good enough. Again, nobody told me this. I've learned that some people are mad because we sing that Do Something song. Oh, I don't want to do anything. None of these concerns were brought to me. They all were brought to other people who, in our leadership team meeting yesterday, and we're going to say more at the end, we discussed everything that we have heard about everything that we know that's being talked about. And it really bothers me when that spirit of divisiveness takes hold. Okay? That's one spirit that's here. There's a spirit of grumbling here. Have you seen it? Can you recognize it when you see it? John 6:43, "Stop grumbling among yourselves," Jesus said. That's Jesus. Philippians 2:14, "Do everything without grumbling or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation. Then you will shine like stars in the sky." I've heard that some feel we talk too much about the building next door. I've heard some people say we don't talk enough about the building next door. They're not informed. I've heard that some are unhappy because these sermons I preach aren't just feel good. And they leave feeling like they're not good enough, which is never my intention. My intention is to encourage you, to instruct you. Nobody came and told me. Nobody. And that's not okay. It has to stop, because that's Satan in our midst. There's a spirit of obstinance here, right? Stubborn people. I'm one of them. I'm a stubborn person. I'm very stubborn. Zechariah 7:11, "But they refused to pay attention. Stubbornly they turned their backs and covered their ears." Reminds me of a teenager, right? Some have said they don't want anything to do with this building next door. Some have said they hate being told what to do by the church. That's a spirit of obstinance. And then this one makes me very sad. There's a spirit of doubt here. There's a spirit of doubt and of fear. And I want to remind you of what Jesus had to say. Matthew 17:20, "Truly I tell you, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, 'Move from here to there,' and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you." Nothing. This one, some of you are really overwhelmed by what we've taken on. You're overwhelmed by the addition of property. You're overwhelmed by the call that is upon us. You wonder, how are we going to pay for it? How do we manage two buildings? How do we fit in with this vision? What do I have to offer? Have you forgotten who you are? Have you forgotten who you are? You have experienced so many miracles. It's one reason I said yes to the call. God's hand is so firmly on this church. That is amazing. You have little faith. Why do you doubt? When we follow God's will, God provides. God provides. He works through us. Can we defeat Satan? Absolutely. Yes. Can you have that confidence? Yes, we can. Listen to this very familiar passage that includes one verse I read earlier. You know this passage. I know you've had a series preached on it, not by me. But you probably, in your, those of you that are longtime members of church, any church, have heard this preached maybe multiple times. You know this. Listen. "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God." Sound familiar? "So that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you've done everything, to stand. Stand firm then. Notice that stand is three times there. It's really important. With the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to this, take up the shield of faith, from which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Oh, those spirits are flaming arrows. What do we fight that with? The shield of faith. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep praying for all the Lord's people. What else can we do? Commit. I know you don't like to be told what to do, but I'm going to tell you anyway. Commit to only talking about something that concerns you with the person who has the power to take action on it. If you have a complaint with me, I honestly don't get mad. Will you hurt my feelings? Maybe. But I'm trying so hard to follow God. And you might be that voice that God uses to correct something or to suggest something that I haven't thought about yet. Please come to me if you have something to share. If you have a problem with something, that the way the church is run, the decisions that are made, guess what? You can join the leadership team. Do you know that? If you are a member of this church, you qualify to be on that leadership team and to be part of the decision making. You can come to leadership team meetings. You can tell any leadership team member your concerns. Don't go to somebody else. Okay? Don't go to somebody else. Pray for unhealthy spirits to be banished from this church and from each other. And be watchful. 1 Peter 5, all of you, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another, because God opposes the proud but shows favor to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up because he cares for you. Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for something to devour. Ooh. Resist him. Standing firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of sufferings. We're not alone. And the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you've suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. To him be the power forever and ever. Be committed to the church. Be determined to stay the course. And this is hard. You have been in transition for, what, 8 years? A long time, and it's hard, and the strain is starting to show. And I'm sorry. I'm sorry. We have this call that we must live out. The reason that we are under this strain is because what we are called to do is so vital to the kingdom of God. Let that be an encouragement to you. Pray for your pastor. Pray for me, please. Pray for your leaders daily. We're still, I hope, praying 5 minutes a day for Orange. Keep praying. And finally, remember how very much God loves you. Do you realize how much he loves you? He loves you. He promised not to leave us nor to forsake us. He loves us so much, he gave his only son to die for us. Nehemiah stood in the gap for his people. He stood in the gap, and we need to do the same for each other. As we stand firm together, shoulder to shoulder, Satan will not have a chance. We are to stand in the gap. Life is hard. Church is hard. We are blessed to be Mission Covenant Church. We are blessed. I wish you could see yourselves the way the denomination sees you. Talked with Howard this week. He loves you, and he's so excited for you. He's there for us. He's there for us. I'd like to close with the behavioral covenant. Mercedes had been sharing with me that this was something that was prayed every single Sunday for when the church went through the vitality process. Those of you that are newer, this doesn't make any sense. But it is a prayer and a promise that we make to one another in how we are to be with one another. And I believe if we live into this, which you wrote, we will be strong. And we will resist Satan, and we will live into our call. So listen to this prayer, and then I'll close. God, you alone understand each of us, and you alone can judge us rightly. We pray for you to help us communicate with one another as your church. As we enter, and in this case continue, this pathway to vitality, and begin considering what changes you are calling us to make, we ask you to favor us with these three gifts: the patience to listen, the grace to respond with affection and respect, the courage to face whatever challenges you want us to overcome. Holy Spirit, please call constantly to our minds Jesus' teaching that we are to treat one another the way we wish to be treated ourselves. We ask these things so that we may be your true sanctuary, and we ask them in Jesus' name. Amen. You know what you're going to need to work on? Yeah? Do you believe that we can do what we are called to do? Do you? Yeah? Yes, we can. We can do anything God calls us. If God is for us, who can be against us? Amen? Amen. Amen.